So I want to set three goals for today. One is an overview of Misasek from a sefer called Archas Shabbos by Rav Reuben Shlita. And I think he really gives us a very nice picture of all the practical issues in Misasek. We started this in the past, but we never got a chance to finish it, so that's what I'd like to do. That's a minor part of today's goal. The second thing I want to do with you today is also to complete something that we began, but we never knew about this inside of Rabbi Chanan. So Avi, if you want to take this, put it on the bottom of your pile, so you'll have the Seder Advarim. And finally, I was thinking to myself, instead of looking at the Archas Chaim and the Archas Shabbos, I mean to say, and suffice it for them, maybe we could find some sort of an overview of Misasek that was written by already one of the Gedolim before, you know, in the previous century. So I have a possibility of doing that today as well. So we'll see what time we have. So if you take a look here, your first page should be Resh Nun Tes. And then it goes pretty much all the way till Reish Samach Beis. Am I correct? So we have here how many pages? Four pages, right? Four sides. The first three sides we've already done in the past. I'm going to just go over them because my contention is that every shiur is a separate unit. So we'll just go over some of the highlights of what we saw until now. The case of Misasek, which is quoted in two places in Shas, in Klal Gadol in Shabbos, and also in Perek Safek, which is the fourth Perek of Krisus, quotes Rava. Rava says that if he had an intention to cut Tolush, and instead, unbeknown to him, what he thought was Tolush was actually Mechubar, he's Potter. And that's the case of Misasek. Abai disagrees. Abai says that if he had kavanas chituch, if he had kavanah for this maisa chituch, that already removes him from the category of misasek, and therefore Abai has a more extreme case in which he didn't even know, he wasn't even aware of the fact that he was doing chituch. He thought he was picking up something from the ground. It turned out to be that something from the ground would cut something, so he didn't even have kavanas chituch. That's called kavanah lahagbia, not litlosh or lachtoch, and therefore he becomes a misasek. What is the special law of misasek? So the Gemara has a pasuk in the parasha of chatos, of korban chatos for shogeg, that says asher chata ba, and the Gemara darshens that the extra word ba is prat lemisasek. We see, therefore, that this din of prat lemisasek is a din klali. It's a universal halacha in Hilchos Shgagos. It's not limited to Hilchos Shabbos. And therefore, for example, if he had in mind to shecht what he thought was a behemas chulin outside the Azor, and lo and behold, unbeknown to him, it turns out to be a behemas kodshim, which means that he violated the iser kares of shchitas chutz, in such a case, he would be potter from a karban chatos under the law of ba prat lemisasek. And that means that in this case, he didn't have any kavana whatsoever to do the maisa that he did, meaning to do the avera, and he had no kavanas isur whatsoever. What he thought was doing, what he was doing was a heter, and on top of that, he was mistaken about the identity of the object. So when you have those two conditions, number one, kavanas heter plus a mistake about the identity of the object, that comes under the category of misasek. That's a ptur in Kol HaTorah Kula, and it's derived from the pasuk ba. As opposed to the case of shogeg, where he only has kavanas heter, but he's not mistaken about the identity of the object. In other words, he knows, he's aware exactly of what he's doing, just he thinks it's mutter. That's a case of shogeg, and the Torah requires him to bring a karban chatas. But if he's not aware of what he's doing, there's some fundamental mistake, he thinks he's dealing with Tolush, and it turns out to be Mechubar, he thinks it's a Behemas Chulin, and it turns out to be Behemas Kodshim, in those cases, he is potter from a Karbon under the law of Misasek. So it's not a Shogeg. He has, again, everything in common with Shogeg in the sense that he thinks he's doing something that's Mutter, but it's much beyond Shogeg. In Shogeg, all that's missing here is Kavanas Iser. Here, he's missing a idea of what he's doing. There's something, shall we call it the facts of the ground, that elude him, that he's not aware of. He's mistaken about the identity of the object. Now, then we go on from the universal halacha of Misasek to the specific singular Shabbos halacha of Misasek, which is derived from Meleches Machsheves. What's the case here? Shmuel says that if he had kavanas isur, he really wanted to cut something that's growing in the ground. He knew very well that he was about to violate a meleches ktsira. But instead of cutting this particular yerek, he cut a different yerek. That's called lo niskaimo machshavto. It didn't happen exactly the way he wanted. There were two chafatzim, two objects, and he ended up with the wrong chafetz. In such a case, according to the sugi of Shmuel in Krisus Daf Yutesim in Beis, which we saw inside, he's potter on Shabbos because of the din of meleches machshavos. That's already a unique ptur of meleches machshavos. Now, let's raise the following question. Is there an afgemina, halacha lemaisa, between case number one, where he had not only a mistake about the identity of the object, but also kavanas heter, which is called ba, prat lemisasik, that's a universal halacha of misasik, and number two, b, the case where he definitely had kavanas iser, he meant to cut something that's mechubar, but he cut the wrong mechubar, which is a ptur in meleches machsheves. So this you'll see on page Reish Sama in the name of Rabbi Kiveger. The Rabbi Kiveger wants to say that in the first case he's in violation of an Isur Doraisa, of an Isur Torah. He's only potter from a karbon, and we're going to soon see that Reb Chaim disagrees with Rabbi Kiveger, but the Orchas Shabbos is not aware of this Reb Chaim. He doesn't quote it even in the footnote. So Rabbi Kiveger is of the opinion that a Misasek and called Tarkula is in violation of an Avera. It's just the Ptur Karbon. Masha Einken, in the second din, namely the case of Meleches Machsheves, where he's Potter Bitoras, the lack of Machshava, here, says Rabbi Kiveger, that undermines the status of the Melacha. It's not even a Melacha on Shabbos. There's no Avera on the Torah level. And we pointed out that this reminds us of the Rashbam in Masechet Bava Basra on Daf Nun Hayam at Beis. The Rashbam says that Chatzi Shir, if he carries a half of Grogeres from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, then he's not involved in a Melach at all. Why? Because it's a chisaron in Meleches Machsheves. Meleches Machsheves requires a Melacha Chashuva, and if it's Chatzi Shir, that's not a Melacha Chashuva. That's Mafkia, the very same Melach. There's no Isur Doraisa here in Chatzi Shir. That's the sheet of the Rashbam. So we have now a very profound parallel between Rabbi Kiveger's understanding of Misasek in Shabbos and the Rashbam's understanding of Chatzi Shir in Shabbos. In both cases, the Ptur is a Meleches Machsheves Ptur, which undermines the very same Malacha, and there's no Isur Torah whatsoever. Based on this radical Chiddush of Rabbi Kiveger about Misasek in Shabbos, Rabbi Kiveger claims, L'halacha L'maisa, that in a case where Ploni Almoni, we'll call him Shimon, is about to violate a Meleches Shabbos of Ktsira but b'misasek, he, Shimon, is of the mistaken impression that he's cutting Tolush, Reuven does not have to tell Shimon that he's about to violate Shabbos, because what Shimon is doing is not an Iser at all. And since it's not an Iser at all, he can let it go by.
But Rabbi Kivega says that's all on a Doraisa level. On a Doraisa level, Enochinami, the Ptur of Melechas Machsheves is Mafkir, Shem Molocha, and it's Mutu Doraisa. But the Rabbanon will prohibit any kind of Ptur Shabbos when in Kolatar Kul Yud Vichayev. So therefore, since in the case of Misasik in Kolatar Kula, as far as the Avera, the Isu Doraisa is concerned, Rabbi Kivega is convinced that you violate the Isu Doraisa. Rabbi Chaim disagrees. Therefore, in Misasik of Melechas Machsheves on Shabbos, we're going to institute an Iser Dirabbanan. And this is going to explain, says Rabbi Kivega, a sugya in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Yud Aleph, which he quotes here on page Reish Samach in footnote number Lamed Hey, regarding Abai Shita, that we have to make a gzera to make sure that the Chayat does not pluck his needle into his garment and go out on Erev Shabbos, because he might mistakenly carry it even after Chashecha, even after it gets dark. So even though he placed it there on Erev Shabbos, we're afraid that he might inadvertently carry it on Shabbos, meaning he'll step out of his Rishon Yochid after dark. The Gemara calls that Gzeira L'Gzeira, because even in the worst case scenario, if he carries it after dark, he hasn't made an Akira, he only made a Hanocha. And the Gemara holds that according to Abaye, Gazrinon Gzeira L'Gzeira. Says Rabbi Kiveger, the reason why Gazrinon Gzeira L'Gzeira would apply here, even though L'Chor it's a Misase case, the man is totally unaware of the fact that he has a needle in the haystack. And if that be the case, why should even Abai be worried about Xera? He's not violating anything. The answer is because this is a Ptur of Melechas Machsheves. And if it's a Ptur of Melechas Machsheves, then it's Potter Aval Asr, it's Asr Min Rabbanan. And why is it Asr Min Rabbanan? Because Misase can call it Tarkula, according to Rabbi Kivega, is an Avera. And now on page Reish Samach, he says the following. This is in footnote, the bottom of footnote number Lamed Hey. He quotes a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. And the case is where a person is wearing tzitzis in Rosh Hashanah. There's no Eruv. And unbeknown to him, nifsaka hatzitzis. One of his tzitzis got ripped. And the question is, do you have to notify him that he's carrying, because tzitzis is a tachshit when it's a mitzvah, but if it's nifsaka tzitzis, becomes what? A masoi. And if he's violating meleches havaras dalet amos b'shus harabim, so Reb Moshe Feinstein wants to make a distinction between a b'shus harabim d'oraisa and a karmelis. And he wants to say that in a case of a karmelis, insofar as he's unaware of the fact that he's carrying, because he doesn't know that nifsaka tzitzis, he's not in violation of anything. We don't have to even notify him, because in a karmelis, which is in the worst case scenario in Issa Drabbanon, if you add misasek, misasek on the Drabbanon is nothing. But if on the other hand he was in Rosh Hashanah, and therefore he's carrying in Rosh Hashanah, which is a Meleches Mavir Doraisa, Elo what, he's unaware of the fact that he's carrying, that would come under a Misasek on a Doraisa level, which reduces us to an Issa Drabbanon. Therefore we'd have to notify him to make sure that he doesn't carry in Rosh Hashanah, even though, again, if we left all things well enough alone, he would not be violating on a Doraisa level any sort of Malacha, because it's a Ptur of Meleches Machsheves, which undermines the Malacha. But nevertheless, since in Kol HaTorah Kula Misasik is considered a Maisa Avera, therefore Midrabbanon we consider an Avera even when in Shabbos there's a Ptur of Meleches Machsheves. Therefore, so far as he's violating an Issa Doraisa B'Misasek of Mavir Dalet Amos, we have to notify him because he's doing an Avera Durabbanan, he's violating on an Issa Durabbanan. This leads us to page Reish Samach Aleph, which means we're more than halfway through his overview of Misasek. And he wants to know, on the top of page Reish Samach Aleph, what happens if he had kavana to cut a yerek because he thought it was tolush and it turns out that it's mechubar?
How can you cut something that's tolush?
You grind it, I guess you'd say. Is that a better word? Should I use the word grinding? Does that help you? Anyway, you cut up a vegetable for a salad, right? You cut it into small pieces. You want to use what word is, what word in English would,
what's he doing?
Yeah, I'm saying if you had a vegetable on the table and you cut it into small pieces,
it's not tolish.
or it's on the floor, it doesn't matter, but it's tolush, it's laying on the floor. Yeah, what word would you want to use for that? I call it chotech, but you know, find a different word. And it turns out that Yerek, unbeknown to him, is mechubar. He says that's called a misasek. And again, if you take a look in the footnotes, he's basing himself on the same tshuva of Rabbi Kiveger, and he says that this is not called a shogeg, but rather this is called a misasek, and it's much less severe than a shogeg. For example, if a person cuts what he knows to be mechubar, but he's not aware of the fact that it's Shabbos, so he's not aware of the fact that there is such an Iser Meleches Ktsira, in such a case, he has to bring a Korban Chatos. But in the case of Misasik, he doesn't bring a Korban Chatos. And Rabbi Kiveger here in Lamed Vav, footnote Lamed Vav, says that there's no Iser Doraisa in this case. It's not just the Ptur Chatos, because here it becomes a case of Meleches Machsheves. Therefore, Rabbi Kiveger wants to suggest that if his Eved, if you recall this case, is doing a malacha b'derech misasek, meaning he's cutting something which is mechubra, thinking that it is tolush, then there's no iser of shvisas avdo, because he's not involved in a malacha, because misasek is not even a maleches Shabbos.
Wait, did you say that?
In the case of Misasek? In Rabbi Kiveger?
Yeah, right.
Oh, so I don't have Rabbi Kiveger in front of me. That's an afkamita after you have the Issa Rabbana. I'm talking before the Issa Rabbana. Rabbi Kiveger says that on a Doraisa level there would be no Issa Shvisas Avdo, and the reason for that is because the Eved is not involved in a Malacha. But if you have a Misasek which is Potter Aval Asur, then on a Rabbana level it's considered as if he's doing a Malacha on behalf of the Yisra.
And would you be able to be Nanya from this?
So we're going to get to that very soon. Okay. Next, we have the paragraph called Kasavur Rishus Hayachid Venimsa Rishus Harachim. A man is carrying, and little does he know that it's a Rishus Harachim. He thinks it's a Rishus Hayachid. He says that Lechora is like Misasek. And here we turn to page Reish Samach Beis. And he says that in this case, Ainli Elbak Dama. If it's like a misasek, then he's potter michatos. Here he adds another footnote. He says, "Ach, ein bo chisaron shel meleches machsheves." Now, what does he mean by "ein bo chisaron mi meleches machsheves"? Anybody have a clue? He just finished saying that it's domel a misasek, but it's not a real misasek, and therefore, although he's potter from a chatos, which is the normal case of meleches machsheves, nevertheless, ein bo chisaron shel meleches machsheves. I don't know. It's a very, very vague kind of statement. Then he talks about a case where he has something in his pocket. This is so common, and he's not aware of the fact that he has something in his pocket. Which means that this would be the unique misasek of meleches machsheves. On a doraisa level, he's doing nothing. It's not even a melech at all. But on the other hand, it would be a violation of an issur d'rabbanan, because in such a case of misasek in kol tarkula, he would be violating an issur d'oraisa. And here's where, Yechiel, your question from before comes to the fore. In Se'if Yudches, he says, what happens if you accidentally open the light? He says, in that case, it's a p'tur of Misasek, and if it's only an Iser Dirabbanan. So in footnote number Mem, he asks the question that you asked before, Hayimuto Lehenos Mi'or Zeh. Now, we're learning Perek Lamed. I don't have in front of me Perek Chaf Hey. I have it here on top. If somebody has the time to open that up, he says to look on Sif Ayin Aleph. If I'm not mistaken, the final conclusion is that there's no Iser to be Nene from the Or, and the reason for that is because we have a concept called Maisa Shabbos. What's the case of Maisa Shabbos? This is a Sugyan Perikira, and that is where somebody cooks something on Shabbos. If he cooks something on Shabbos, then even if he did so Bishogeg, you're not allowed to eat that food until after Shabbos. But the poskim say that that's because when he eats the food, he's getting direct benefit from an object that was created, so to speak, or completed by a Melecha Shabbos. Meaning, there's a heftz over here, there's something tangible, there's an object which, through Bishel, on Shabbos, became edible. And therefore, since it became edible, you're being nene from a Melecha Shabbos. But in the case where there's no tangible object, although, you know, let's say he carried it out from one Rishus Arabim to from one Rishus Yochidin to Rishus Arabim, or the vice versa. Again, I'm not telling you Allah Maisa, but many poskim will hold that in such a case there's no Isa of Maisa Shabbos. Why? Because there's no direct benefit from a Melecha Shabbos. The direct benefit from Melecha Shabbos is only when a Melecha Shabbos changes the object.
Can I just ask something? This switching on the knife, does he know it's Shabbos?
Yes, he knows it's Shabbos, but he doesn't know that he's falling on this, we call it a metek, what's it called in English? A switch, a light switch. He leans on it, he's not aware of the fact that he's leaning on a switch.
Right.
Michael, this happens to me all the time. I should admit my faults.
He leans on a switch, the light comes on, and therefore he knows. The previous cases are, he's walking in Rishus HaRabim and he's got something in his pocket, and he never knows that there's something in his pocket. He's just walking and he doesn't know the consequences of his action. Here, he knows the consequences of his action immediately.
Right, but he's not aware of his action. And that makes him a misasik. Whenever you're not aware of your action, meaning you think you're leaning on a wall, but little do you know there's a switch behind your back, that makes you into a misasik. And Rabbi Kivega says that a misasik is an Issa d'Rabbanan. Now, he violated an Issa d'Rabbanan. Again, he did it inadvertently, not consciously. Now the question is there a din of Maisa Shabbos? So I have to run out of this room, because as long as I sit here and eat my meal, or I count, you know, I count my, I can't count money on Shabbos, but I look at it's something that needs light, I'm being nene from the fact that he violated, at least on a Drabbanan level, a Melecha Shabbos. So I'm just pointing out that he tells you to look here in a different chapter, so, you know, I don't have that right now. If somebody would be kind enough to open up that chapter, that would be great, but if we don't have that kindness, we can just go on, and I'm just going to guess what I think the answer would be, and that is that there are many poskim who say that. Thank you so much, Avi. Wow, you've been very kind. So you want to look in Perek Chaf Ches, correct? Is that what it has? Just one second. No, I'm sorry. Perek Chaf He Seif Dalet. It's in volume 3, I think. Are you looking at volume 3? Yeah. Okay.
Rabbi,
so
somebody does something out of habit. Can you define that as, I mean, usually we would consider that shogeg, but can that be defined as misasik? He doesn't really have kavana per se to do something, it's just automatic. So, you know, people go out of the bathroom at night, and this happens a lot. You leave the bathroom at night, Friday night,
yeah,
whatever it is, and you turn the light off, not because you're thinking even to turn the light off. You weren't thinking to turn the light off. That's just complete habit.
So that's a sugya, I think, if I remember correctly, in Masech Teshvus. I don't remember exactly on what daf, it's in the Perek called Shvus HaEdus. And the Gemara wants to know, if you do something out of Hergel, and without even thinking it out, it's almost an instinctual response, whether or not that's considered a shogeg. And the Gemara wants to equate it with the case of someone who believes that, you know, that his Rebbe never would have said such a thing. So there's an argument between two Amorayim about what the Rebbe says, and each one takes a shvuah that what you say, the Rebbe said, he never said. And the question is, did somebody violate a Shvua Sheker because somebody's wrong. So the Gemara says that he's so convinced that his Rebbe couldn't have said such a thing that he's called an Anus. And he's not called a Shogeg. And he's not even considered liable for violating a Shvua Sheker. And in that context, the Gemara talks about cases where you have a hergel to do something, and automatically you did it. Is that called a shogig or is that called an honest? I don't know if it'd be called a misasik, but it might be called an honest, which is good enough. Is good enough for us. Let's just look quickly here. Well, what pack did we say it is? I keep forgetting. Chaf hey. No, it's look at mem. It should be. It's my mistake. I mean, look at mem. Chaf hey. Chaf hey sif dalet. So let me just quickly. Again, this is for a different shiur on Maisa Shabbos, but since this is so practical that I can't overcome my temptation here, but I hope I'll fit in everything that I prepared for today. Chaf hey seif dalet. Is that what he says?
Yeah.
Okay. Chaf hey seif dalet. Let's just see what he says. Ha'osa molacha asura b'shabes bi'ofen shu mugdar kimisaseik kigon shenitkal b'meseg hachashmal derech ilucho. He accidentally, as he's walking by, I mean, I give the example, he falls on the wall. He has a different scenario here. V'nidlak ha'or yesh shehitiru lishtamish bi'or zeh v'yesh shehichmiru b'zeh. And he says in the footnote the following: Ayin b'tshuvas Rabbi Kiveger, okay, that's our tshuva. Shedon beikar isuro shal misaseik im osu me'ator rak potem ichatas she'ein bo isu tor klal. V'daito noted deleinyim misaseik b'shabes yesh lavchin bein shnei ofanim. Okay, maybe this is a chiddush, so it's important if we see this. He says, case number one, b'mekresh yesh b'maaseihu chisoren shavoleches machsheves kigon sh'osav olocha v'lo niskavin lo klal b'chai gavna ein bo isu Torah le'isu d'rabbonim bilvad. Then he has number two, b'mekresh osa samaisa sh'niskavin elov ela she'sovur hu shahapri tolush v'nimtza mechubar. Ah, so in other words, he did exactly what he wanted to do, just he was mistaken about the identity. This is already the p'tur misasek of kol ator kula b'chai gav the mikri meleches machsheves ach potur michatos migzeres hakosuv di asher chota bo prat lemisasek, the universal p'tur of misasek b'chai gavna. And he's quoting Rabbi Kivege, yesh isud Torah el shepotu michatos ulefi dvar of yesh makom listapik im yeh knas the maisa shabbos be ofen she yesh bo isud Torah. Does maisa shabbos kick in a case where there is an isur Torah? I don't understand what his question is all about. Umatzinu v'poskim sheikilu b'zeh. What does he mean? Ayin prima godin, blah blah blah. Shekos avdim zorak b'shabes sakin l'noatza b'dover tolush v'holcha v'shochta kidarka, or on its way it shechted an animal. Yeshloma d'shori b'dievet, he's allowed to eat the meat of the animal. I don't know, I guess it's Yontif. He had said Zark Bishav, so I guess he's going to eat it raw. I don't know. The Eino Dome Lishoge Dis Aved Meleches Isur. I guess he's saying, because it's Misasik. So I don't know. Anybody wants to read through this? I was hoping it would be clear, but it's not so clear. What we do understand from him is the following: that if we're dealing with a misasik and kol tarkula, that's already an isur d'oraisa. So if he accomplished exactly what he wanted to accomplish, just that he was mistaken about so he has a cut up salad, but he was mistaken about the identity of the object. He didn't realize that he was in violation of ketzira. In such a case, that's a ptur of rava of ba. In the universal misasik, that would be an isur d'oraisa according to the tshuva of Rabbi Kiveger. In the case, however, where he was intending to do his malacha on object A, and it turned out that he did malacha on object B, that's already a unique tour of Maleches Machsheves, and that's only what? That's only and that is a mafkia even of the malacha itself. So let's just go back to this case. He was unaware of the fact that he is opening the light, the electric light. So are we dealing with Ms. Asik and Kol Tarkula? Lechora, I would say that here you would have an overlap between Ms. Asik and Kol Tarkula and Ms. Asik and Shabbos. Why? Because on the one hand, it's Ms. Asik and Kol Tarkula in the sense that he was unaware of what he was doing. So it's not pshat that he did what he wanted to do. He never wanted to turn on the light. And that would make it like the case where he doesn't realize he has a brick. You remember the sugya in Bava Kama, and he stands up and the brick, you know, shoots out. That would be Masasik and Kol Tarkula. And in addition, then for sure, it's a Ptur Maleches Machsheves in so far as he doesn't have a Machshava for the Malach of turning on the light. So one could argue, therefore, that according to Mikvega, it's not even a Malach on Shabbos. The only problem is, if that be the case, if it's not a malach at all, if it's not a malach at all in Malachas Shabbos because of the Ptur Malachas Machsheves, should we activate the principle of Potter Aval Asur? And what are we going to say now that, if you give me just a minute to work this out of my mind, in the case of a Ptur of Ms. Asik and Kol Tarkula, Rabbi Kivega says that it is considered a Maisa Avera, therefore Potter Aval Asur. Now the question is, would there be an Isur of Maisa Shabbos with regard to a violation of an Isur Derabbanan? So, I believe that this question, again, I don't know what Rav Rubin is saying there, if anybody wants to go through it, but leaving out Rav Rubin for just a minute, I'll just tell you what Berzon has to say, for whatever that's worth, is I think it would depend upon what exactly is the nature of this Issa Derabbanan in terms of Rabbi Kiva Eger's Misasek Potovel Os. I'm afraid to go off on a tangent here because this is a long discussion. There are two, this we covered in our Derech Shir, there are two kinds of Isurim on Shabbos. In some cases, like for example, Malacha Shenetzricha L'Gufa, what the Chazal did was they said, you're Asur Mirabbanan in Malacha Shenetzricha L'Gufa because we are forfeiting or neutralizing the requirement of Tzricha L'Gufa. Once we neutralize the requirement of Tzricha L'Gufa, what are we left with? We're left with the Malach. Is that clear? Meaning, just like Rabbi Yehuda says, Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Chayav, Rabbi Shimon is going to say on a Derabbanan level, insofar as we have to equate Shabbos with Kol Tarkula, a Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is like a Malacha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is chayev if it's ein tzricha l'gufa. So we have a bona fide malacha, albeit midrabbanan, and then the din of Maisa Shabbos would kick in. But it could be that there's another type of potter aval asur in Shabbos, and that is that we're not creating a malacha, but rather we're saying there's a gzera that if you do this, you might come to do that. Meaning, if you do a malacha b'makalkel, maybe you'll do it b'misaken. Or, for example, if you do a malacha without kavana, then if we allow you to do that b'ena miskaven, you might do a malacha tomorrow b'miskaven. That's already a gzera d'rabbanan. So the question I want to raise is, what's the gedder of Rabbi Kivega's Issa d'rabbanan potter avalasa misasek? Is it a malacha d'rabbanan, or the rabbanan creating a malacha where the Torah didn't make it into a malacha, or it's a gzera d'rabbanan? And I'm going to suggest that it's only a gzera d'rabbanan, which is on a much lower level. That's why Rabbi Kivega says that if he's unaware of the fact that the machat is there, that becomes a gzera. It's not a malacha d'oraisa, not even a malacha d'rabbanan. It comes under the halacha of gzera. And what Rabbi Kivega is afraid of is that if we allow you a certain permissibility in Misasik and Shabbos based on Maleches Machsheves, then you might come tomorrow to extend that kind of a halacha to Kol HaTorah Kulo, where there is no Ptur of Misasik. So the Rabbanan asked it because you'll come to violate the Issa D'Oraisa of Misasik of Kol HaTorah Kulo. If it's only a Gzera the Rabbanan, but the Rabbanan admit that it's not a Malacha, that's Rabbi Kivega's whole thesis, that Malachas Machshevis is the basic requirement of Malacha, and without it, it's not a Malacha, then the Rabbanan are not going to say, well, we completely overlook Malachas Machshevis in this case, and we're going to make a Malacha out of something that's not a Malacha. That far the Rabbanan don't do. They can say that we don't want you to do X because it might lead to Y, and that's called Gzera the Rabbanan. The special halacha of Iser Maisa Shabbos only applies to a malacha on Shabbos, albeit the Rabbanan, but here it's not even a malacha the Rabbanan. So I would say that Maisa Shabbos could apply in the case of malacha Shana Tzricha Gufa, where he's well aware of his malacha. He has a different tachlis, a different purpose in mind. But in the case where he's not aware of his malacha, and therefore he's lacking in the basic element of Malachas Machshevis, that might be a case where Rabbi Kivega would agree that it's only Gzera Derabbanan, the Iser is only Gzera, and therefore the Halacha Maisa Shabbos doesn't apply. Okay, I don't know if I was clear, but that's an entire sugya unto itself, to divide up all the Derabbanans into two categories.
You can definitely do Tzarif Reb Chaim. It's got to be worth something.
Yeah. We'll get to Reb Chaim soon. That's what I found today. Did you get the copy of Reb Elchanan? It should be on the... Did I give it out? I'm beginning to forget. I meant to give it out. Okay, so we have that copy. I don't know if you got one. Maybe we'll get one for you. And I just want to discuss a few other cases here that he brings up, all dependent upon this issue. He says, what about opening a refrigerator and the light is going to go on? He doesn't know that the light is on. This would not be a Malachas Machshevis. And therefore, this would come under Misasek. It would be an Issur D'Rabbanan to open this fridge, and the nafkamina is going to be that I have to make sure that he knows that the light is on, and therefore I have to prevent him from opening the fridge, right? Be put mafresh in me, Issur D'Rabbanan. And number two, it would be a problem if he's my Eved, then I want to avoid the Issur of violating Shvisas Avdo.
You also have the same problem of Hanami Malachas Shabbos.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Again, maybe in certain circumstances, if it's absolutely unacceptable, right? Because again, the yisodas of Malachas Shabbos is that you're benefiting from Malachas Shabbos. I can grant you that this is a Malachas Shabbos, although I'm not even sure if it's a Malachas Shabbos. But even if I grant you it's a Malachas Shabbos on a Drabbana level, nevertheless, you're not having any direct benefit from the Malach itself. Now he has a case of ripping a sakit, and inadvertently he rips the letters. You know, when we rip open these bags and so forth, so we have to try very hard to avoid ripping letters. And he says the following: Adam she'asak b'kriya sakit she'betocha ochel v'shtadel l'kora Now, what's the nafkamina here to an Issur D'Rabbanan? You know, he tried as hard as he could to avoid ripping the letters. Maybe what Rav Rubin is trying to tell us here is that maybe he shouldn't have gotten into this from the begin with. Yeah, he should have avoided it because he has to realize he's taking a risk of violating an Issur D'Rabbanan. But once again, you wonder whether or not this is considered an Issur D'Rabbanan.
This is
a very different case than all the others. In all the other cases, he didn't know what he was doing, but here he knew exactly what he was doing. But I would go even step. I don't know, Michael. I think it's even better. Why? Because he knew exactly what he was doing, and what he was doing was ripping it in a way that the letters should not get destroyed.
He ended up doing exactly what he didn't want.
So he did the opposite. He took upon himself the effort to avoid Mechikas HaOsios. And I'll tell you the honest truth, there's another problem here which I think we should raise, and that is Mechikas HaOsios is not really an Issur Shabbos. The Mishnah says that you chayev for Mechika, but only if what? If it's Almanas Lichtov. So Mechika per se is an Issur Kilkul. Here he's not interested in replacing these letters. Oh, so I'm saying in the worst case scenario, if he rips the letters, he's violating an Issur Mechika d'Rabbanan, because in the case of Mekalkel, we'll apply the principle of what? Of Potter Aval Asur. He's doing everything in his power, if he's honest about it, and he's meticulous, that he's trying to avoid this Issur d'Rabbanan. And now you're going to tell me if Ba'ofen, he describes the case, Hishtadal Lekore Shalobamak of Osios, right? Nimshecha Yado. I don't know what it means, Nimshecha Yado, maybe he ripped it a little bit too far, and he wants to suggest that in such a case, he violates an Isur Derabanan, because he's Mochek Shemo, you know, Osios, when he tried, you know, as hard as he could. He has a long footnote here. We'll try to just get the gist of it. He says, "Yesh ladin mikriya zute chashiv v'chlal davar she'eno miskamen." Now, watch what goes on here. In a case of misasek, he was directly interested in cutting. Okay, he didn't realize that it was mechubar, but he was definitely interested in chituch, in cutting it up in slices. Here, he's not interested in cutting osios. He's interested in opening the bag. So you have here two maisim, an overlap of two actions. Whenever you have an overlap of two actions, you decide which of the two actions is primary by his kavana. His kavana was to open the bag and remove the contents from the bag. So Adam, shiskamein lepulas psicha. And what happened was Nimshecha Yad Vasa Pulas Isur. Now we have an overlap of two pturim. It's not only what misasik, but it's also davashena miskamen. Imkain yeshlomar de im mitchila lo haya davar begeter psik reisha. All right, this becomes very complicated. Yeah, at what point do you call it a psik reisha? So he says you look at the beginning of his action, and we don't know exactly how far he's going to rip it. So therefore, it's not a psik reisha. If it's not a psik reisha, then it becomes a davar she'eino miskamen, which in kol tar kula is mutter, and therefore there's not even an issur d'rabbanan. He says ach ein ze bar de nehida kasher hischil lachtoch. When he started ripping it open, he was interested in only opening, he wasn't ripping any letters. Something happened that was not in the original scheme. This is really deep. He's saying that this is not a case of davar she'eino miskamen. Davar she'eino miskamen means that from the beginning to the end, you have two actions, one of which is miskamen and the other. Here, it's either kavanas heter or kavanas iser. The action itself has to be split into two parts. He says that at the moment that he began his ripping, that's a pure melech, that's pure maisa pula shel heter. But at the point that he starts ripping it too far, and he's ripping now the osios, then you cannot even define it as a pulas heter. He's already got he's got it open. I guess that's what he's assuming. He's got it open enough that he can empty the contents. So right now, all he's doing is ripping osios. That's a pulas iser. And that doesn't come under davar she'eino miskamen, because davar she'eino miskamen, the key of keys, that you need two pa'ulos. And therefore, he says on the next page, which you don't have, I don't think, you don't have Reish Samach Gimel, do you?
No,
okay, it's just a few lines. He says, in the footnote, he says, Kashu Osek Bepulas Heter, V'agav Ze Naseis Melechas Isur. He wants to say that's only a Ptur of Misasek, but you can't call it Dover She'eino Miskamen. So again, whether or not we should assume that he violated an Isur D'Rabbanan here, namely whether or not we can piggyback Davar Sheni Miskaven on top of Misasek, and by piggybacking Davar Sheni Miskaven on top of Misasek, the overlap of the two, we could be Matir L'Chatchila. That all depends on this analysis. When we look at the first part of his action, Mitchiloso, then he was involved in a Meleches Pulas Heter. But if we focus or isolate the second half of his action, when he's up to the letters, that's a pure Pulas Issa. There it's not a Davar Sheni Miskaven. So the whole concept of Davar Sheni Miskaven is inapplicable here. The only Ptura you could apply is Misasek, because Agav, you know, the first part of his action, he inadvertently did the second part of his action. He's totally unaware of the fact that he is now ripping osios. That's not what he had. That's not what he was involved in. But that already fits into Rabbi Kivega's gether of Potter Avalos. Just one more second, Michael, just so you have the whole picture. So Rav Rubin says that he asked this question to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Shlita, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach apparently responded in writing. I guess it was a hitkatvuyot in letters. Dimis asek yodea hetev esapu'ula sha'osa v'gam osa osa mirtsono el sha'eno muda limitzius. So he knows exactly what he's doing, and there's no question about it, but he's missing a little bit of information about the reality. And that missing information is critical, because that information makes what he's doing into a malacha. And he's not aware of that information. He says, Bitzir ha'omer, but in the case that Rav Rubin mentions, where he starts ripping and then he gets to the osios and he ripped it a little bit too, you know, too strongly, hu yodea gam b'shas maise shezu malacha el shenase b'lish litoso. He knows that this is a malacha, but he has no control of it. V'zeh yoser begeder eino miskaven. Gee, he comes to the exact opposite conclusion. He wants to say that zeh yoser begeder eino miskaven. Why is this an eino miskaven? Let me just get this straight. It's not a question of awareness of the mitzius. Why? Because he knows exactly what's going on. No one's fooling him and telling him, hey, did you know there were letters here on this box? He's aware of the fact that there are letters on this box. But why is this a Davar Sheni Miskaven? Because he had no interest whatsoever in ripping the letters. Then he has another paragraph here. He wants to say it depends how careful he was. Okay, fine. But before we get to that, so is this Maisa considered a Davar Sheni Miskaven, or is it considered Misasek? Misasek means the unawareness of certain information. Here he has all the information at his fingertips. Miskaven means that he has intention to do an action, but he doesn't have intention to do that action. So it seems like Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is not impressed with the logic of Rav Rubin here, that we should split the action into two. If I understand correctly, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach sees the action as one continuous action. He's not going to divide it into two parts. First part is Heter Gomer, second part is Iser. No, he's going to say, let's look at the whole action. And if we look at the whole action, he doesn't have Kavana to rip the Osios. On the other hand, to call him a Misasek is not Shayach. So at this point, I'm trying to figure out what is the bottom line here, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, before he gets to Viulai. If he's classifying it as a gether of Eino Miskaven, so then, assuming it's not a psikration, which we'll get to in just a minute, then it would be mutter. Whereas Misasek, according to Rabbi Kivega, is Potter Olasur, because in Kol Tarkula Misasek is an Isur, is an Avera. Davar Sheni Miskaven in Kol Tarkula, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, is not an Avera, and therefore Davar Sheni Miskaven in Shabbos would be Mutter L'Chatchila, as long as it's not what? As long as it's not a psikresha. Now, I'm going to assume that this is not a psikresha for two reasons. One is a textual reason, and another is a conceptual reason. Textually, he says, "Vizeh Yoser Begeder Eino Miskaven." He doesn't whisper a word about psikreshah.
That's the case.
But conceptually, I think what he means is that he rejects Rav Rubin's assumption that you can split this mice into two. If you accept Rav Reuben, then once he gets to the point at the end of his ripping that he comes in, you know, he comes head on with the osios, at that point there's a new maisa which is called mechika. That for sure has a psik ratio. But the answer is that I don't think Rav Shlomo Zalman is willing to accept that premise. He sees the act of kriyas ha-sakit as one long continuous action from beginning to end, and there's no psik ratio here because it all depends on how strong of a rip he'll give, and it's very possible that he won't rip it strong enough to get down to the osios. And therefore, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, this would be a case of eina miskaven, and therefore it's not an iser derabban at all. And Michael, this will come back to your point. My nafkimina, who cares whether you're over an iser or not? I mean, he did it already; it's a done job. But maybe we want to raise the question whether or not up front he should be avoiding such a thing. You know, don't take a risk and expose yourself.
That's my whole point. These gedarim that the rabbis introduced was that why make a geder? Because you're going to do something and it might lead you to do something else if you make a geder.
Right.
So obviously, if you've got this sweet packet that's got all this writing on, and the, you know, and you can tear around the writing, it's pretty likely that you're going to go into that writing. Then
why does
it, you can't do it?
Oh, but so that's what Shlomo Zalman is disagreeing, and he's saying it's a davar sheinu miskaven. Meaning, if you would analyze this from the perspective of misasek, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you're absolutely right. Because, you know, he's aware of the fact that he might rip the osios. But davar sheinu miskaven is a much more far-reaching principle. What is a davar sheinu miskaven? I'm doing maisa X. I'm only opening this, what did you call it, a sweet pack?
Yeah.
I'm opening the sweet pack. I'm not in the least bit interested in ripping osios. Let the osios stay there ad bis Mashiach. That's called a davar sheinu miskaven. They already puts it in a whole new category. Why? Because Rav Shimon is of the opinion, we paskin like Rav Shimon, that mochrei ksus mochrim kedarkon, and einom choshishim. Or, for example, the nazir is allowed to take a brush and brush his hair, and there's a good possibility that maybe he'll rip out hair. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says that when he picks up this sweet box and he starts ripping it open, he's involved in opening a sweet box. He may or may not, and I don't know what the percentages are, but that's irrelevant to us, but he may or may not rip the osios. That's already a davar sheinu miskaven. That's not a Shabbos halacha, and therefore it would be mutter. Meaning, I don't have to drive my.
You don't even have to worry.
No. That I wouldn't say, because if already you get to the point where you are doing an action which, because of its strength, it will rip the osios. That already makes it into a psik ratio. Meaning, you've got to try as hard as you can to leave a statistical possibility, whatever that might be, that you won't be ripping the osios. For example, in the case of a nazir, if he uses a very heavy brush, and not only will it open the, you know, the knots in his hair, but also rip out of his hair. We know that up front, that's not a davar sheinu miskaven. But once you get the structure of davar sheinu miskaven, meaning we don't know what's going to happen, and he's involved in X and not in Y, then if we don't know if Y is going to happen or not, then it's mutal chatchila. And that's a very far-reaching halacha. Now, he has an ulai over here, which kind of upsets me, because I thought he should, you know, call him Moshe Korea. He has a beautiful shtickle Torah.
Well, he just has the just came to the opposite conclusion of what he wanted to. That's why.
I'm just saying that at this point, I think we have a davar sholem. No, we have something that we could really
against what
we can sell on the open market. You know, we have something really good. You know?
Against what he wants to say.
Who's he?
It seems like
he is Rav Reuben or Rav Shlomo Zalman. Yes, it's absolutely antithetical to Rav Reuben.
That's why maybe he's bringing in, I don't know what the Ulai is, but maybe he's.
Oh, you mean but the Ulai is Rav Shlomo Zalman. I'm wondering. Yeah, that's why I'm wondering why Rav Shlomo Zalman couldn't quit while he was ahead. And he says the following: for Ulai, in lo nizhar kol kach. Again, if I was finishing this line, I would say the ulai im lo nizo kol kach is a psik ratio. But that's not what he says. I wish he would have said that. He says the ulai im lo nizar kol kach havi begeder shogeg. I see what he's saying. You can't call him amazed, because even if he was careless about it, he didn't have intention. Again, I'm wondering here, is it...
You're saying he's careless, that it's
a psikration. Right, he's careless, meaning, you know, yeah, but he's not willing to go as far as calling it a psikration, because he calls it a shogeg. What he's saying is that we really, at this point, we don't know what's going to be the outcome. Why? Because he doesn't want to rip the osios. He doesn't have to rip the osios. He gains nothing from rip the osios. But yet he's been totally careless about what kind of force he gave to the rip. So I don't know if he will. If he definitely will, then he's chayav for again. I always claim that mechika is only the rabbanan, but he's chayav from aleches mechika in one form or another. Why? Because that would make it into psikresha. I don't think Rav Shlomo Zalman is calling him a rasha marusha of a psikresha type. But what I think he's saying here is that there's that what? It's a
double shining as cavalry. Just 1 second. What makes him into a shogeg if you have a double shining as cavalry?
This is a fascinating chiddush. I don't understand it, but I'm just telling you what I think he's writing here. He's saying that, let's say, the nazir picks up a brush, right? He picks up a brush and he doesn't check out the brush, meaning, or he doesn't do it carefully, but he's now putting himself into a situation which
dangerous,
which might be it's still a double shade of miscavane, but it becomes a shogeg. Why? Because since he rips out hair and he didn't take precaution, in other words, there's something called a pshia on a double shade of miscavane. What's a pshia on a davar sheni miskaven? It still remains a davar sheni miskaven. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about. If he didn't take any care, and we know what's going to happen at the end, that's a full fledged davar miskaven. That's the yisoda of psikresha. So it must be that there's no psikresha, because we don't really know what's going to be the outcome over here. We can't predict it. You know, he may add a little force, he may not. He's just doing it carelessly, without premeditation, without being careful. In such a case, there's a new halacha, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, of pshia. Now, I would have said that either it's a davar sheni miskaven or it's a davar miskaven. It's either black or white. Rav Shlomo Zalman wants to say it's like the gray area. And the question here is whether or not he could be held liable if he's careless for a malacha that he did, not deliberate, but out of a negligence and not being careful, and that comes under the halach of shogeg. He says, "Im nizar miod, if he does it carefully, have he begetter onus." Again, I don't know why Rav Shlomo Zalman had to add this point. If he is nizar maod, then Rav Shlomo Zalman just told us that davar sheni miskaven. I don't know why he needs to add onus into the picture. So on both sides, when we get to davar sheni miskaven, we're going to have to figure out what Rav Shlomo Zalman had in mind here. It's very very ambiguous. Let me just read another paragraph here, and then I want to go with you to Rav Elchanan. He says, "Haroes chaveru shaose iser b'misasek." Do I have to stop him? So the answer is, according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, what's the gether of misasek on Shabbos? It's an iser derabanan, and the halacha is that I have to be mafresh someone from an iser derabanan. V'kolshken, and how much more so? She'ein lahachshil adam lasos iser b'misasek. You know, we spoke about this the other day.
But still not a riot in reverse. You don't accept that premise of the fact that it is a malacha.
Right. He's assuming that, according to Rabbi Kiveger, and again, he never questions Rabbi Kiveger's premise that the iser derabbanan of misasik is a malacha mamish midrabbanan. It's a malacha mamish midrabbanan. I would have said that even according to Rabbi Kiveger, it's only a gzeira derabbanan. And how much more so? We'll see. Rabbi Chanan, who claims, I don't know if he's quoting Rabbi Chaim or he says on his own, that misasik is not even in Kol Tarkul is not even a ma'isavir. He says, "Im shachach lenatek es hanora b'makarer, osur lomar liodem achil liftoach es makarer, afsha osa odem eini yodea shahanora tidolik." So again, l'shitaso, that an isa derabbanan applies whenever there's misasek in Shabbos. I can't allow someone to violate that isur d'rabbanan b'misasek, but rather I have to be mafresh him from this isur. So Rabosa, you know, I asked you before, in the case of someone who's ripping things, or he's carrying things, or he's opening refrigerators, he's leaning on walls, you know, in all these cases, or he's out in the Rosh Hashanah, he doesn't know, in all these cases, he's a misasek. And I asked the following question: Why is this whole pilpul about whether he's violating an Issur Rabbanan in a Halach L'maisa Sefer? You know, if Rabbi Kivager wants to point out that there's an Issur Rabbanan here, that's one thing. But the Archas Shabbos is trying to present Halach L'maisa. This whole thing seems like a theoretical conceptual pilpul. But the answer is, here's the Nafkamina. I know that he's about to violate a Malacha B'misasek. Do I have to be mafresh him? Do I have to notify him that this is a Rosh Hashanah? I have to notify him that, buddy, you're about to open up the chashmal.
Why not? Why should you not?
Why not? Because he's not doing a malacha. If I argue that again, on a Doraisa level, for sure, Rabbi Kivager insists that Misasik is not called a malacha. The Torah says malachas machsheves. I wanted to point out to you, by the way, so I just want to insert it at this point so that I don't forget to mention this to you. Rashi in Masechet Chagiga on Daf Yudam and Beis says, "What's Malechas Machsheves? She Mechashva Bedaito V'Niskaving Lo." Rashi has three different words here. One, he has the word Machshava. Number two, he has the word Das. And number three, he has the word Kavana. Rashi is going out of his way to emphasize that in the case of Shabbos, you need a premeditated intention that was calculated, bedaito. That's Malechas Machsheva, something that happens and you had no das, no machshava. That's not Malechas Machsheva. And I think this would support Rabbi Kivager's conclusion that Misasek, which is certainly lacking all three elements here, there's no Machshava for the Malacha, there's no Das for the Malacha, there's no Kavana for the Malacha, then for sure, it's not a Malacha. Because Malacha equals Malechas Machshavas. And therefore, why do I have to bother being Mafresh him if he's not involved in the Malacha at all? What makes the Malacha into a Malacha is his awareness of the malacha, his machshava. That's what makes the malacha. Maleches machshavas. It's got to be a malacha, but it's got to be machshavas. If it's not a maleches machshavas as one unit, then it's not a malacha. And that's what we pointed out again, Chatzi Shir, according to the Rashbam. I know, was anybody here, I don't remember when I discussed Rabbi Menachem Zemba. Do you remember Rabbi Menachem Zemba? Rabbi Menachem Zemba said that the halacha of Maleches Machshavas defines the very nature of the malacha. Ad kedei kach, he says that the Rambam defines Zomer as an av malacha of Zorea. How could Zomer be an av malacha? It's so radically different. The answer is the machshava of Zriya, meaning to legadil satzemach, that makes it into an av malacha of Maleches Zorea. That was the Rambam Sheet in Meleches Zomer. It's not a Tolda, but rather an Av. So we're seeing a certain overlap here between Rabbi Kivager and Rabbi Menachem Zemba. Again, they lived in slightly different periods. You know, Rabbi Menachem Zemba lived in the 1900s, and Rabbi Kivager lived in the 1800s. But it's Shnei Nevi'im Shenisnabu B'Signon Echad. That Meleches Machshavas defines the very essence of the Malacha. Without Machshava, it's not a Malacha. And Rashi fits in very beautifully with this approach. Narvas, we have a halacha of the Rabbanans, and now we have to be mafreshim from doing what would be tantamount to an Issur d'Rabbanan. Again, Legabe, the person himself, if he violated this so-called Issur of Misasek, what difference does it make? You know, he's not going to bring a kapara, he's not bringing a karman, maybe it's an afkamilin in yeshuva, you know, I don't know. But more fundamentally, it's an issue as far as being mafresh him mina isur.
It's not even like shogeg, where you can say that shogeg, you have to do the tshuva that you have to do, is you have to become more aware. So, you know, you have to become aware that it's Shabbos. It's a matter of raising awareness. Over here, it's got to, he has no shaykes to the malach at all. There's nothing he can even do to rectify it for next time. It's not like,
I mean, he can't take a training exercise. He can't send it to a school so that he'll learn how to be more careful. Right. He's just totally unaware of it. you know. And it's not a lack of knowledge, you know, he knows Hilchos Shabbos backwards and forwards. So now I wanted to do this Rabbi Elchanan with you. The question is, did I give it out to you or did I not? Okay, so this Archas Shabbos will put to rest for now. I think we did a more than adequate job for that. And we'll take a look at the Kovet Shiurim at the very end of Masechta Pesach. Rabbi Elchanan has arrived. And the sugya there is Misasek Bechalovim Varayos. And the question here is, we have a principle in Chalovim Varayos that Misasek is Chayav Shekein Nene, correct? And the Ravid wants to say that in the case of a mitzvah, let's say like a mitzvah of achila on Leila Pesach, we have a mitzvah achilas matzah. He says the following: Shiny mitzvahs achila mishar mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. Meaning, even if I would maintain that mitzvah tzrichas kavana in general, with regard to all mitzvahs, achila is different. Why shekein nene? And he says, just as we say in cases of an avera, on the flip side, not a mitzvah but an avera, misasik b'chalovim chayev shekein nene, so too in the case of mitzvah, we're going to say that he fulfills the mitzvah because of shekein nene. That's the Ravid's logic. This hasogas haRavid is also quoted by the Ran in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. So we have the Ran in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, the Hasogas haRavid on the Baal HaMor in Masechta Pesachim, and they both say that even if I hold mitzvah srichas kavana in the case of matzah, I could be yotzei without kavana. So for example, let's say they force him to eat matzah. He certainly doesn't have kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah. He was compelled to eat the matzah, and yet the Gemara says that he's yotzei. So you might argue that that's because mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana. Comes along the Ravid and the Ran, and they insist that even if mitzvahs srichas kavana is yotzei the mitzvah of matzah, why shekein nene? Says Rabbi Elchanan, mizeh nireh, I can prove from this Ravid, the misasik bichol isurim mutar. Again, it's a funny language, mutar, but he means that there is no avera. Lo kemo shekosav. He has another word here, listapek. I'm not sure listapek. I mean, Rabbi Kibega came to a definite conclusion, but maybe he means at the beginning Rabbi Kibega presents it as a sofer. But Rabbi Kibega comes to a definite conclusion. I mean, everything that we've been discussing is based on Rabbi Kibega's, you know, final conclusion. Namely, the eno ela le'inyan p'tur karmon, that misasik is only a p'tur karmon, but as far as the aver is concerned, he's guilty of the aver. He says, "Bishleim im misasik b'choli surim shari legamre." It makes sense, this Ravid, if I reject Rabbi Kibega and I assume that misasik in kol tarkula is mutal legamre, there's no avera whatsoever. So then you could say, "Bechelev osur mitam shekein nen." Then you could say, "Shayach lilmod mitzvos mi surim," meaning just like in chelev, despite the fact that he was misasik, he thought he was eating shuman, but he ate chelev. Nevertheless, there's no p'tur of misasik. He's going to have to bring a carbon shogeg. Why? Because shekein nene. Now, if shekein nene means that we take a situation where there was no avera and we make it into an avera, is shayach lilmod mitzvos misur? Kamod to be sur misasik eino isur. But what does shekein nene do? It has the power to create an isur, and isur doesn't exist. Hafinami b'mitzvos, misasek ain't a mitzvah. If he did it with misasek, it's not a mitzvah at all. Ubachila, but if he's nene, havi mitzvah. So let's just, before we finish Rebbe Elchanan, let's just analyze his logic. He's creating a mirror image. He says that in Isurim, let's say for example Achilas Chelev, there's Misasek and then there's Shekein Nen. what happens in this transition between Misasik and Shekein Nene? You make a transition from that which is not considered an Isur to that which is considered an Isur. In the mirror image in mitzvos, the difference between Misasik and Shekein Nene, which means that he had no interest in eating the matzah, but he's nene from the matzah, is the difference between a non-existing mitzvah and a mitzvah. So it means that Misasik itself is not a mitzvah. It becomes a mitzvah through Shekein Nene, and this we can derive from Isurim, where the Isur of Misasik is not an Isur. It becomes an Isur through Shekein Nene. And then we have a perfect parallel. Just one second. So that's what we have so far in Rabbi Chana. That's what I call Hakofa Al. Aval, he says, if you would argue the way Rabbi Kiveger argues, the Misasek Eino Ela Gzeres Hakosav Liftar Mikarmon, but in truth, even in the case of Misasek, he violates an Isur. Eino Shaya Klal Limo Mizel in your mitzvahs. How would that indicate that in the case of a mitzvah, you be Makayim the mitzvah because of Shekein Nene? The answer is, you can't make that jump because in the case of Misasek, even in Isurim, you were in violation of an Isur, correct? According to Rabbi Kiveger. El, what you put from a carbon, what does that tell you about a mitzvah? You're going to tell me now that in a case of Misasek, you're chayav a carbon if it's Shekein Nene, and therefore in the case of mitzvah, you're yotzei the mitzvah because of Shekein Nene, the whole discussion of mitzvahs becomes irrelevant. Does anybody want to say it in their language?
No, they're not parallel anymore.
When are they parallel? If you're telling me that you went from a non-avera to an avera, and how did you do that? Through what mechanism? Of Shekein Nene, right. Then you can take and apply that to a mitzvah and say it's a non-mitzvah, but Shekein Nene, that makes it into a mitzvah. Then we have a parallel analogy between Shekein Nene and Isurim, and the Ravid's parallel Shekein Nene the mitzvahs. But if on the other hand you're dealing with Petur Karbon, okay, so the Torah says that, you know, Misasek is guilty of an Avera, but it's not such a guilt. It's not the guilt that lives up to the standards and reaches the Karbon Shogeg. It's less than a Shogeg. Okay, that's wonderful. What impact is that going to have on the principle of mitzvah srichas kavanah? If you hold the mitzvah srichas kavanah, it means that you're not yotzei a mitzvah unless you have kavanah. Now you're telling me Shekein Nene? So if it's Shekein Nene, therefore all of a sudden, magically, you know, abracadabra, it becomes what? It becomes a mitzvah. If it's not a mitzvah, and he wasn't yotzei, because kavanah is a precondition to kiyum mitzvah, then what are you going to tell me? Because of Shekein Nene, and now we have a kavanah? Now it's considered as if he was miskaveh? Why should I say such a thing? In Karbon, we said he was parted from a Karbon because it was a lower echelon, Avera, it doesn't meet up to the standards of Shogeg, but now that he was Shekein Nene, that upgrades the Avera to such an extent that from an Avera which is parted from a Karbon, it becomes an Avera that's chayav in a Karbon. And Shekein Nene means we generate a chiyuv Karbon. But does that mean in the case of mitzvahs, when I need kavanah in order to be yotzei the mitzvah, that now I can say, well, Shekein Nene, and therefore he's yotzei the mitzvah without kavanah? What logic does that make? But if on the other hand, what we're trying to do is, we're trying to set up an Avera where it didn't exist, and that's the power and the, you know, the far-reaching arm of Shekein Nene, that it could make an Avera where there was no Avera, then the Shekein Nene and a mitzvah can make it into a mitzvah when it wasn't a mitzvah. And I think that this is very close to what we said the other day in the name of Reb Chaim. You recall that Reb Chaim disagreed with Rabbi Kiveger, and he maintained that Misasek in Kol Tarku is not a Maisa Avera at all. And he derived it from the fact that the principle of Misasek applies to mitzvahs as well. Now, let's say mitzvahs ain't Srichas Kavanah. So if mitzvahs ain't Srichas Kavanah, why is it that Misasek, I'm blowing a shofar and now I want to clean out the shofar and a tekiah shvarim true tekiah comes out, why is it that I'm not yotzei? So you're going to tell me, because mitzvahs srichas kavanah, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Chof Ches, that even if I hold mitzvahs ain't srichas kavanah, I'm not yotzei. How could that be? it must be that misasik means it removes the maisa. According to Mani Omer Mitzvah's Ein Srichas Kavanah, all I need is a maisa mitzvah. The maisa mitzvah automatically sets it up as a mitzvah, and I don't need Kavanah to set it up as a maisa mitzvah. Correct? I don't need Kavanah to set it up as a maisa mitzvah. That's called Mitzvah's Ein Srichas Kavanah. But in the case of misasik, I don't even have a maisa mitzvah. And therefore, in the parallel case of an Avera b'misasik, I don't even have a maisa Avera. And if we take this a step further, then we could possibly say that in the case of Shekein Nene, right, what is Mitzvah Srichas Kavanah means? It's not the Maisa Mitzvah is not automatically set up. It doesn't set itself up, May Elov, but rather I need Kavanah to set it up as a Maisa Mitzvah. Now we have Halach of Shekein Nene, that if in Avera, it's not a Maisa Avera, because Misasik is Mafkia the Maisa Avera, but yet Shekein Nene makes it into a Maisa, then Mitzvah Srichas Kavanah would agree that I don't need Kavanah in the case of Shekein Nene. If I eat the matzah and I enjoy the matzah, that itself sets up the Maisa of Achila as a Maisa Achila, just like in Erva, we set up the Maisa as a Maisa Erva because of Shekein Nene. Even though, if it wouldn't have been Kishen Nene, it didn't have a Maisa, and that's why, even if I hold Mitzvah Srichas Kavanah, even if I hold Mitzvah Ein Srichas Kavanah B'mis Asik, I would not be Yotzi, because what? It's not a Maisa Avera. Now we had the flip side of the Shekein Nene. If Mis Asik is not considered a Maisa Avera, but Shekein Nene makes it into a Maisa Avera, then even if I hold Mitzvah Srichas Kavanah, and that means that the mitzvah does not automatically, the maisa does not automatically set itself up as what? As a maisa mitzvah. But Shekein Nene has the power of setting it up as a maisa mitzvah, just like in the case of Misasek in Arayos, where the Misasek removes the maisa vera. But the Shekein Nene sets it up as a maisa vera, so too in mitzvahs, the Misasek is mafkia the shem maisa mitzvah, but now that he is Nene, the Shekein Nene sets it up as a Maisa.
So if we
that's what I think we can get
to our original case, which was this vegetable or whatever it was that he thought was tolerant and it was actually mechuba.
Right.
So he's cutting it up. So now if he eats it, then it's nene. Therefore, he has that.
But what we have to do is we have to find a case where he's nene from the malach itself, not as a result of the malacha, but from the malach itself.
Well,
now, in order to research that topic, I have another photocopy for you today, which is from a sefer called the Rosh Yosef. Okay, then? So, did I give this out to you yet?
No.
So, if you can be careful about holding on to this and pass it around, you should have two sides of a page. And who was the Rosh Yosef? I wrote on the bottom of the page, he was the Prima Gadol. I may be short of one thing, but Yechiel, maybe you can do it in the computer. Okay, so who was the Rosh Yosef? The Rosh Yosef was Rav Yosef Ta'omim, and he's most famous for authoring a book called the Prima Gadol. That book on Yoredeya is the key of understanding Yoredeya. Meaning, the conceptual understanding of Yoredeya, all those breakthroughs were made by the Prima Gadol. He also wrote a commentary on Shas, which is called the Rosh Yosef. And I found that he has a long, long essay of 4 pages long on the subject of Misasik. And he gives you, again, his insights into Misasik. So what I wanted to do with you, not today, but we'll do it in Mitzvah Shem next. Today's Wednesday, right? So we'll do Bli Neder next week. But I wanted you to get a jump start on this. Is to, again, we had this overview of the Orchas Shabbos from one of the contemporaries who lives down the block from me in Har Nof. But this is the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim was one of the giants of the Achronim. And again, although he wrote the Rosh Yosef, I think, if I remember correctly, when he was a youngster, but it doesn't matter, he's still the Prima Gadol. And what I'd like to do, this is an experiment of sorts, is to go through, I'm going to try to do it on my own, and then, you know, if each and every one of you can do it on your own, and then compare notes, and at least, you know, the very least that I'd like to ask you to do is the first page and a paragraph. Meaning, on the first page, it's just one little paragraph. That's Itmar. You saw I made a little chetz over there on the bottom left. So that starts the Itmar. And he writes, Halacha zu, this is the case of where he intended to lift up something that was lying on the ground, and it turned out to be a knife or a sickle, and as he was going up he cut something that was mechubar, and that even according to Abaye is considered misasik and called tarkula. Is he says halacha zu, meaning this halacha misasik, roy lahakdim hakdoma achas, I want to give one introduction. And then it starts with the word hine. So if I were printing the Prima Gaudim, I would bold the word hine, because hine is where he begins a four page overview with many, many insights into Misasik. And I personally feel that this subject of Misasik as an introduction to Masechta Shabbos and moreover to Hilchos Shabbos is so fundamental that we should take the time to read what the Prima Gaudim has to say about Misasik. I don't know if you agree with me. It's a free country, there's no Kfiyah Datit, but I would suggest that we at least give it a shot. Again, I might drop it halfway through if I see it's way over my head. I got stuck on the second page, on the bottom right column, where he wants to suggest that the machlokas between Abaye v'Rava is identical with the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. If you remember, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua were arguing about the pasuk ba. This is the Gemara in Krisus on Daf Yutes Amid Beis. And Rabbi Yeshua derived from the pasuk ba that he has to know exactly which avera he violated. Achivad v'ma v'ma avar. And Rabbi Eliezer derives from the same pasuk ba pratlam is asik. According to the Prima Gaudim, at least in one possibility, then he rejects it. The machlokes between Abaye v'Rava about his kavim lachtoch es hatolush instead of like bia es hatolush is identical with the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. At that point, I said, "Wait a minute! I need some help over here. I need the cavalry. This is already too profound for me." So you're the cavalry. So that's why I'm giving you this photocopy, and I'm asking you if you have the time to help me out with this, because otherwise it becomes, you know, the burden is on my shoulders, and that's not fair. So number one, you have to decide for yourself whether we should analyze the sugya of Misasik from the worldview of the Prima Gaudim, and if the answer is yes, then we need to find the time to plow through this. Okay, then I'll wish everyone a great day, and thank you for your, yeah, it's good.